This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's a feel-good fall. That's what it's going to be no matter what. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what? I'm good, man. It is a feel-good Friday, even though it's pouring rain outside. Yeah. You know, so here's the deal. I did a interview with the Atlanta station down there.
In 92.9 The Game?
That's right, yes.
Was it with Hugh Douglas?
No, they do the morning show like we do here. It was with Bell and Carl and Bell.
Oh, that's the afternoon show.
Yeah, the afternoon show.
Yeah, it's Carl Dukes.
Yeah, so they were lamenting the fact that their Falcons are 0-2.
How do I know this stuff?
I don't know how you know. You're just like a radio guy.
Yep.
So they're thinking that, and I was thinking that if they could come up here and beat the Giants, the next two or three games, you know, include the Jets over in London. Mm. I mean, they could turn their season around. But the only reason I say that is because if I'm a Giant player, that's how I'm thinking. I have to turn my season around by winning the next game. And I'm hoping, you heard me talking yesterday about Daniel Jones and the new level of respect that I have for him with the way that he handled the whole Kenny Golladay thing on Sunday. So this is a moment in the NFL season where two teams are both 0-2. Both teams are under enormous pressure. I think more Joe Judge than Arthur Smith, because Arthur Smith – you know, he's got some pieces down there, and they're not really rebuilding because they have Matt Ryan as their quarterback. You know, Joe Judge is now under the gun because this has been 5 years in a row where they've been 0-2, and they got the young quarterback, and, you know, last week it was the defense, and maybe it was a little bit of offensive being conservative in the fourth quarter and what have you. But Giant fans, I mean, are going to be very restless going to MetLife Stadium this Sunday. You know that, and I know that. But talking to those guys down in Atlanta, they see this as an opportunity to turn their season around, too.
Of course, because the Giants have been one of the worst teams in the NFL in recent memory. And the Falcons are thinking to themselves, hey, we hung with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a while before that thing got out of hand. A
couple interceptions that return for touchdowns. Yeah. And I can get a game out of hand.
Matt Ryan is still here. They sort of brought some of the band back together without Julio Jones to try to give it another run.
Well, they drafted the kid Kyle Pitts, who is Kadarius Toney's teammate at Florida.
Sure.
With the number 4 overall pick, he's a big athletic tight end. And watching him on tape, he hasn't really figured it all out yet.
Yeah.
Man, but when he figures it out, man, he's going to be the next Kelsey. He's going to be the next Gronk. He's going to be an incredible talent for the Cavs.
So why wouldn't they think that way? The Giants have been awful.
Right.
Yes. Like, we're going to go up. We'll go up to MetLife Stadium. We'll go in there. We'll beat the Giants, and we'll get everything on track.
Dude, it's supposed to be a feel-good Friday. You're supposed to be telling me reasons why the Giants are
I will probably end up picking the Giants, and I do think it's a must-win for them, and I'm not even joking this time.
It's a must-win.
Three, your season's over.
This is not a show me game. This is not a show up spot thing.
What you got spot.
This is a pressure is a privilege game.
Yeah, this is your season is bleeping over if you lose the game. But no, I am agreeing with your point and the point of the guys down there in Atlanta that of course that's the way that they're looking at the game. Sometimes we are so just with the blinders on with the Jets and Giants that you forget that there's another team that's trying to save their season too at 0-2.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were talking about yesterday. And they've had problems, it turns out, against mobile quarterbacks. And I don't know why, but Daniel Jones is one of the more mobile quarterbacks in the league. I would tell you he is a top 5 mobile quarterback in the league.
Why'd you say you don't know why?
I don't know why people don't think of him.
Oh, okay, okay, all right, yeah.
I should have finished that thought.
Yeah, know, I was going to say, you don't know why Daniel Jones is one of the most mobile quarterbacks.
No, he is, but I don't know why people don't think of him that way.
I'll tell you why. Because he looks like a stiff pocket passer. That's why.
He's not.
I know he's not, but I'm saying that just people judge a book by the cover. They look at Daniel Jones, they're like, Duke, tall, kind of a little goofy looking. He's a stiff pocket passer. That's what they think.
But he's anything but that. He's a real athlete.
He moves, man. I know that.
A stiff pocket passer would be Matt Ryan.
But that's
a stiff pocket passer.
I know. I'm just telling you. I'm giving you the reason why I think people think Daniel Jones is that way. But it's not right. The guy can fly.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Sam Darnold's 3-0.
Yeah, you know what? I hate when I agree with Al Dukes on sports stuff because I know he doesn't pay attention to sports.
Yes.
But I listened to more of the warm-up show than normal today because I was stuck in horrible rain and traffic. And
doesn't that suck?
It really is. Ugh. In the dark and people don't want to drive. But Al is so right about the Sam Darnold stuff. Okay, he's 3-0 with Matt Rhule. There isn't a Jet fan, and I'm pretty confident in saying this, there isn't a Jet fan in America that would take Sam Darnold back right now, even after the Zach Wilson performance last Sunday. So can we stop with the Jets made a mistake in getting rid of Sam Darnold? Look, he's 3-0 with the Carolina Panthers. It didn't work here. If he was still here, it would continue to not work. And good for him that this is going on. But the Jets have moved on. You know, this isn't going to be one of those things where you look back and say, Sam Darnold turned into an NFL MVP after the Jets let him go. I mean, for crying out loud, he beat two of the worst teams in football. One, the Jets, who are starting over. Two, the Davis Mills-led Houston Texans. And what was their other win last week? What did they do on Sunday? I don't even remember.
They beat the Saints. They crushed them.
All right, yeah, they beat the Saints, which was a nice win. But let's not act like you take Sam Darnold back. Nobody would.
Well, hold on. No, I didn't say that.
It's not you yelling at. It's everybody that's going after the Jets going, oh, you screwed up again. You made another mistake. Oh, Sam Darnold's.
That's non-Jet fans. That's the people who hate the Jets and like to tweak the Jet fan because they know the Jet fan likes to be tweaked. But I'm happy for him. But watching the game last night, your assessment of the Jet fan not wanting Sam Darnold back is 100% correct. Because what I see is I still see a guy that's nervous back there.
Hmm.
I see a guy that, you know, it's great. He's had three games to get, you know, kind of used to it. You know, two of the three games, as you said, against two of the worst teams. And I wouldn't sit here and tell you that he looks great in the pocket. He looks nervous. He's bouncing all over the place. He's running all over the place. But nonetheless, he's 3-0. He's actually played three back-to-back games where I would say he is more than a competent, good quarterback.
Yeah, I just like the whole like Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson revenge game, showing the Jets what they're missing out on. You're telling me that Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson could go win a Super Bowl together in Carolina? No, they're not.
Right, but still, for Sam, who's still a young kid.
And I'm not going after him. Okay. I hope not. He's a really good guy, works hard. It's the fans that I'm going after, acting as if the Jets let go of Brett Favre. Like that Sam Darnold was on the Atlanta Falcons like Brett Favre was and then went to the Green Bay Packers and became an MVP and a Super Bowl champ. That's not what happened here. The Jets didn't let go of Brett Favre.
Right. Not yet, anyway.
You know it.
I'm just happy for him, man. Because I know that the 3 years that he spent here was just so tumultuous and wrought with so much pressure and just unevenness and instability and everything else that it's actually nice to see him smile. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? They got a much more mature quarterback down in Carolina. But yeah. He still looks like a chihuahua standing at 36th and Madison at rush hour. You know what I mean? He still looks that way. And meanwhile, the other quarterback, Davis Mills, at times looked really confident and really poised and threw a nice touchdown pass right before the half. So I don't know what happens with him, but maybe he's just a woe-be-gone kind of guy that just kind of hangs around for 10 years and plays backup. Who knows? I usually, if you're playing on a team and Tyrod Taylor is the starting quarterback and Tyrod gets hurt and you take over, you turn into a star.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, it happened a couple times. Baker Mayfield and then, of course, Justin Herbert. I mean, those two guys were waiting in the wings when Tyrod had an opportunity to start and then he got hurt and then they jumped in and that was that.
I feel like you're right. You're right. I was thinking about where was Tyrod before that? Wasn't he in Buffalo before that? But he wasn't there when Josh Allen was there. Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield were the same year. They were rookies. So, same year. Same year as Sam Darnold, too.
Yes, and that's when he was with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And that was 2018, and it was a Thursday night game. And that's when Baker Mayfield got the opportunity to come in.
All right, so I did see a little bit of your golf swing yesterday. It's horrific.
Thank you.
And we'll get into that a little bit later on. I did want to ask you about the report because you immediately said this when I asked you this question the other day about whether or not Kyrie Irving was vaccinated. And then, of course, yesterday there was a report that Kyrie Irving is one of the players that is not vaccinated.
Yeah, and if we are to believe the report, it is in no way, shape, or form a surprise to me. And I told you, he will find a way to get the religious or medical exemption. He won't get vaccinated, and he'll be able to play. And he'll be on the Nets. He'll take his breaks. He'll have his 4 or 5 days away a couple times a year. But this is what Kyrie's story with the Nets will be.
So is James Harden vaccinated? You know, because both of those guys have an opportunity to sign a contract extension, much like Kevin Durant did. Kevin signed his. Kevin's ready to go. But these other two guys have not signed their contract extensions. And Sean Marks basically said, if we had to practice today here in New York, of course, a few of the guys would not be in the team picture, meaning that they're not vaccinated. And so now we believe it's Kyrie, or somebody believes it's Kyrie. And who are the other players? And is it tied to their contract extensions?
Yeah, that's an interesting question with James Harden. And what's surprising to me is if we think that Kevin Durant, or we know Kevin Durant is vaccinated.
I believe he signed his contract extension and is vaccinated.
Okay, all right.
That's what I believe, but
Well, let's just operate under the assumption that he
also had some COVID stuff last year, issues last year around the team and close contact and all that other stuff.
Well, let's just operate under the assumption that he is vaccinated. If he can't get these guys to get the shot, that would surprise me. Now, there might be a little bit of back and forth and some consternation, whatever. But he is the leader there. He got everybody together. He's going to tell them, listen, we're really going to blow this thing because you don't want to get the vaccine that's totally safe that I got and look, I'm fine. I believe that somehow, some way, he will get them to get on the same page and get the shot. Sort of like with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they were the first team to get 100% vaccinated because I think Bruce Arians was like, we brought all you guys back to go win, and Tom Brady, to go win another Super Bowl. You got a rare opportunity here with Tom still playing to go and win back-to-back Super Bowls, and you guys are going to be selfish and try to screw this thing up for us? No, 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 no. And I think the same type of mentality Kevin Durant is going to try to give to those other two players. But we'll see if it works.
I will say this, that if somehow Kyrie goes around this, that's going to be BS. That is going to be 100%.
Well, I told you, he's going to convert to a Hare Krishna.
Not, you know what? No way. Listen, I hate mandates anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not about that, but unfortunately, we live communist situation here in New York. So you got to do what they tell you to do, or you can't play. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you and I can't go to restaurants. We can't work here. We can't do anything.
Well, I can. So can you.
We're vaccinated.
Because we're vaccinated. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but that's the laws the mandates that we're living under.
By the way, congestion pricing really starting to ramp up. It's going to be there sooner than you know.
Well, even more so now that there's the tourist industry is way down, and so therefore the taxes are not being paid by the foreigners.
It's like unbelievable to me that this congestion pricing thing is going to happen. But whatever. We're off of that, but
chip away.
What is the what are some of the religions that get exempt from the vaccines? Because I want to know what Kyrie is going to convert to. Do we know, Eddie?
Well, you can basically make up anything you want because that's all religion is anyway.
Yeah, but so it has.
You
just,
but you know what I'm saying, Eddie.
Stop being so cynical.
Well,
and just
no, no. You
the
can
question.
Seriously. You can say I now believe this and but this sect of
it has
blah,
to be.
Blah, blah.
It has to be legit. Man.
But they're not going. It's if you look at the fine print, it's like an approved religious or medical exemption.
Yes. Now you're talking about approving religion. You know,
I know, but that's
a whole
but
thing.
You can't go up there and be like, I'm, you know, the Church of Wendy's Breakfast.
Sure, you can.
But they're not going to approve that, is what I'm saying. That when it says approved, there, it's going to have to be something.
Yes, that's
that
a
people have heard. Of.
Wendy's Breakfast is delicious, but
yeah.
a ridiculous example for religion. But seriously, you can make a valid argument for any offshoot of any sect of Christianity.
Okay. All right. So you're telling me it's not going to be hard for Kyrie to come
Absolutely
up with something?
Absolutely not.
All right. Mm.
Just make crap up.
I mean, just the level of just nonsense, lack of practical application of things is just so frustrating.
Yeah, but I still
it is just so frustrating.
It is, but this situation I couldn't love more. I really couldn't. Like, I know what you're talking about, but this whole Kyrie not getting vaccinated,
it's fabulous.
Oh, God. I mean, does it get any better?
I guess you're right.
Oh, it's just hilarious. Now, we'll see what happens with the Knicks. I mean, we're saying it's hilarious now with Kyrie, but
nobody for the Knicks actually talks. Nobody comes out and says anything.
They just hang in the background.
I mean, Sean Marks has his thing.
Sean Marks.
He has his thing, and... Yeah. We don't really have anybody to speak for the Knicks. The Knicks just don't talk to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Zoo should be the spokesperson for the Knicks. What up, beautiful people? Everybody got the jab up in this bitch. We good. We got some Pfizer. We got double shot 3 weeks in between. We're feeling good. Couple symptoms here, there, a little bit of fever, some chills. But we good. But we good. And we here. We vaxxed, waxed. Ready to crack some heads. All right.
Wouldn't that be phenomenal?
If he was the official
Knicks spokesperson.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's Ed R. Zuman on behalf of the New York Knicks. Yo, 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 what it is, what it be. Big Zoo in the house on behalf of the Knickerbockers.
Hopefully he has a script.
Yeah, I know. When he does it, he bombs. Much like he did on Moose and Maggie the other day.
What
oh,
happened?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was driving. I was looking for a life jacket.
What happened?
They gave him an opportunity to do the Pete Hoffman hot lunch thing.
Oh, yeah, which is a good idea, yeah. It's a good idea with Pete. I didn't hear it with Big Zoo.
And it was quite possibly... the worst thing I'd ever heard on WFAN while being in the car. And I love Big Zoo, but he bombed. He drowned. Moose had to try to save him.
Yeah, but before that, they were just letting him drown. They were just watching him.
Well, it was their fault. It was their fault. He was going through every single nominee at the Emmys. Every single one.
Oh, really?
And asking them if they knew about the show. He's like, all right, next up in the drama category... Bridgerton, y'all see that? And Moose is like, no. I. So then another nominee in the drama category is The Crown. Y'all seen that one? And I was like, it was like Ali G. I thought he was doing Ali G.
Really?
Like to make it awkward. Like I thought, is this performance art? Because it's so bad. And then they were trying to, because he had a whole bunch of stuff prepared and he took so long with the Emmys. That at the end is like, as he's like going underwater, he's just throwing stuff out. He's like, a Patrick Mahomes' brother dunked water on the head of a Ravens fan. Y'all want to talk about that? And Manny Pacquiao's running for president of the Philippines. Just like
going all over the place.
It was
like
really, yeah.
Jacket.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. but Moose was like, I think I had to text Moose to let him know really how bad it was, you know, because I think he kind of knew. I was like, you got to do something to save this poor kid. I mean, this is it, like, for him. You could hear the bubbling as he was going underwater. All right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
No baseball last night, a no-buzz football game, but boy, this weekend is going to be jam-packed with good stuff. Jerry Recco is here to tell us all about it. What's going on, Jerry? Good morning.
Good morning. We're powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. All right, so let's start with the week in the NFL. Week 3 opened last night. And boy, this Sam Darnold, man, boy, the Jets screwed this thing up, huh? Darnold and the Panthers beating the Texans in Houston.
Under center, Darnold. Darnold takes quarterback sneak up the middle. Don't think he got it. First effort, trying to push forward with the second effort. Yep. And they roll it a touchdown. Well, Darnold crossed the plane. The Panthers take a 23-9 lead with 4:07 to go in the fourth.
That call courtesy Westwood, one on the Fan. Two rushing touchdowns for Sam Darnold, threw for 304 yards. Panthers beat the Texans 26-9. And if you listened or watched the game, you could tell there was quite the contingent of Carolina blue in the crowd.
I'm just so happy to be here, man. These fans have been great. You know, this the way they travel, first of all, is incredible. All the way out here in Houston's unbelievable.
And that was Darnold on NFL Network.
The way they travel? Panther fans travel?
They are traveling in droves.
I mean, what are they, like the Raider fans, the Cowboy fans?
The Steeler fans?
Either that or the people in Houston are so disgusted by their team. Of course. They just went out and rooted for the Panthers.
I mean, think about their quarterback situation. Went from Deshaun Watson to Tyrod Taylor to Davis Mills.
Yes.
They were selling their tickets like crazy. Want them? Here, $6.
Here's Matt Rhule. That's 15 seconds. Matt Rhule talking about Darnold.
I think one thing about Sam, he has some moxie, man. I mean, he stayed in the pocket, had that long run called back, but, you know, finding Terrace on the 3rd and 12. I mean, there's some huge conversions by Sam. And again, it's him just playing within the system, but also I think he has a courageousness that...
He's got courageousness.
Courageous moxie. The new Sam Darnold. I love it.
How about that?
Made some nice throws last night. He and DJ Moore, by the way, the most underrated wide receiver in football for Maryland. Thank you.
8 catches, 126.
He's throwing touchdowns just as fast as he can. Everyone's crazy about our QB, Sam. Come on!
We have a sports talk station in Charlotte. You should send that down there to them this morning. Be like, hey, I wrote a song for you guys.
That's useless right now.
Yeah, for us at least, but for you, it's perfect.
They could go with it for sure. Christian McCaffrey did leave the game with a hamstring injury. Davis Mills, what do we call him? Erect neck? Pencil neck? Whatever. He went 19-28.
What? You guys called a starting NFL quarterback an erect neck or pencil neck?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Who did that?
Who
did that?
We're not making fun of him.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Jerry, I thought he looked like an erect neck.
That was you, or was it Jerry?
No, I pointed out his neck was, I think, trending on Twitter, and Jerry said it looks like an erect neck.
Which is nothing wrong with that. Look at that neck.
And then Al was all about it.
Hi, I'm Al Dukes. I'm for the human erection.
Was this the podcast?
No.
No, that was 5-6.
Look at that neck.
It's an impressive neck.
Oh, look at Sam's neck.
No.
That's a more normal neck.
That's a normal neck.
Right.
I mean, Davis Mills has got a Mike Lennon neck.
He's got like a giraffe neck.
Yeah. He's got a Mike Lennon neck.
Yeah, that too.
He's got a long neck. Some guys don't have a neck. He's got a neck.
I got a box. You got a neck.
Most impressive neck in sports history. One guy pops into my head right away who played a long time ago.
Fullback?
Not a long time ago.
Fullback or running
90s.
Back?
No, 90s defender. Defensive player in the 90s.
I know my
Merton Hanks.
Yeah, yep. Merton Hanks.
Yeah, he used to do that thing with his head. Most
impressive neck in sports history.
I couldn't do that.
History.
My head would, tall like, neck. I'd pull a
it
neck.
It was an amazing neck.
That.
Yeah.
No one else had an interesting neck. Willie McGee from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, for sure.
That's another good neck guy.
Yeah.
Like, these are your top five neck guys.
Top five
necks. Davis Mills should be on that list.
He may.
Mike Lennon.
Michael, definitely. No, that's four. Do we have a fifth?
Arecnik.
No, do we put Davis Mills on there?
We need a fifth.
Who's that now?
Bob Uesler?
No, we're talking about athletes.
Oh, I see.
Not Arps.
I don't know. There's got to be Zach Thomas. Remember Zach Thomas?
For the Dolphins?
And Takeo Spikes. That really guy had an unbelievable neck.
He had a big neck. Yeah, like a
but
big,
we're not talking
neck.
Big thigh. We're talking giant, about, thick about neck.
A erect neck.
Oh, you want long erect
necks? It's
got to
be long.
Yeah. Is there, there's got to be a basketball
like
player.
Like Willie McGee.
So you guys are talking
about...
You got
Merton Hanks, Willie McGee. You got Mike Glennon. You got this guy,
you
Davis
want
Mills.
Length, not girth.
Right. Yeah.
It started out, we were calling him pencil neck.
It's got to be a basketball player.
Hmm.
Could be.
I don't have a fifth one with a long neck. I feel like we've gotten four really good ones.
That could be the...
Yeah.
There'll be a caller that gives us one or two.
Manute Bol, but that just
that's not fair.
He's also 9'7". Yeah,
right. Didn't Dikembe Mutombo have one?
Yeah, but that's another.
Again, 7'2".
Right. Not, so you're trying to keep it like within the realm of like
we're looking
6'2" to 6'5".
Yeah, disproportionate long necks on athletes that are impressive. That's what we're looking for. It's
right.
A very, very specific genre.
I'll give you one. What about Adam Silver?
He's not an athlete.
He's got
though.
That oblong face.
Yeah, he'd be there, though.
That's right? The question.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's from this planet.
All right, let's get to the local teams. You got Giants, Falcons on Sunday. Let's take care of a couple of things here. First, Jason Garrett spoke yesterday, and so obviously it was his first time we're hearing from him. He went over the Kenny Golladay thing, which he says is nothing.
To me, it's not a big deal at all. We're excited about having Kenny Golladay here.
Matter of fact, big fan.
I love the guy. I love his competitive spirit.
And he says it's the NFL. Stuff occurs.
That stuff happens on sidelines all the time. You know, we ask our players when they're between the stripes to go out there and compete and battle and scratch and claw. And we can't say when they come to the sideline, all of a sudden, we're choir boys again.
I actually love that answer.
Yeah, nobody
true.
Wants to be a choir boy. And plus, you know, I have to basically deal with it so I don't get fired.
Well, that's true.
That was true, too. And, you know, and I don't think Kenny Golladay realizes that he just made me look like an idiot on the sideline in front of the fan base because he is screaming that, you know, we're conservative and all this other crap, and that's what the fans are screaming.
Well, that is a good point. The fact that the fan base, fair or not fair, thinks that Jason Garrett is a terrible play caller, and then this big high-priced free agent comes in here and starts screaming at him in the first two games of the season.
And doesn't... Kenny doesn't realize by doing that you're putting a guy like right out there. And again, I go back to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones never let on that it was Jason Garrett that Kenny was yelling at.
Yeah, took one for the team.
Yeah,
that's right.
In terms of the health of the team, here's Saquon Barkley says he's starting to feel right.
Last week, I could felt like, you know, I know it's gonna sound weird, but like my eyes and my feet were moving at the same pace.
Okay, I never heard that one before, but he's a pro athlete. We are not. Well, I am not.
How about Plaxico Burress? Long neck?
Oh, good one.
That is a good one.
That's a very good one.
I think he should be in the top five, yeah.
Yeah, that was from Jerry Houck on Twitter.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That's a good call right there.
Merton Hanks, Mike Glennon, Davis Mills, Willie McGee.
And
Plaxico Burress. If you can crack that top five.
So now we got five on the Mount Rushmore of long necks.
Of long neck athletes.
Right.
Yeah.
Eli Manning spoke yesterday because they retire his jersey this weekend. You got the ceremony, and this sounded like Boomer, quite frankly. What do you want your legacy to be?
Just the availability. That's something that I probably take most pride in, just the fact that, you know, I was there week in and week out every week.
Here he continues
what
on
mean, that.
That
sounds like me.
You've said that about Eli Manning for the last 10 years.
You said it yesterday. You said, say what you want about Eli Manning, but he was there every single day.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. It does sound like me, though. Right. Yeah.
He continued that thought.
I was there week in and week out every week, and to never, you know, miss a game because of injury or anything else, you know, I think that was always important to me.
It was that one time. He said never missed a game because of injury or anything else. They did bench him.
But that wasn't
his
fault.
His fault.
He was there ready to play every week.
He showed up. He was a guy that was there.
You will have Eli Manning till he's 60. Be happy with it then.
He's the best.
Meantime, the Jets are in Denver against the Broncos on Sunday. Mike LaFleur explaining boring football. We heard Rob Saleh talk about that after the loss to the Patriots.
I love what Saleh said. You know, I mean, it's okay to play a boring brand of football. What he meant by that is you got to take what the defense gives you.
And that's what they hope that Zach Wilson does coming up
on Sunday. Strange
that
the offensive coordinator's calling the head coach Saleh. I love what Saleh said. Like, strike you as weird? Like, I love what Rob said. I love what Coach said. I love what
never thought about it. I guess
Saleh
so.
Said.
I suppose.
Like, I would never be like, I really enjoyed what Esiason said yesterday. Like, I would never say that.
Yeah, but he's probably also known as Coach Saleh around the building.
Well, then say Coach Saleh.
We don't call him Host Esiason around here.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I thought that was strange.
Yankees in Boston play the Red Sox starting tonight. You got Gerrit Cole, Nathan Eovaldi. Here's Kyle Higashioka. Big stretch run begins.
Well, it's always going to be a challenge when you play three really good teams in Toronto, Boston, and Tampa. So, you know, we're up for it. And obviously, if we're not up for it, we'll be heading home. So.
Now,
Aaron Boone. Already.
Aaron Boone was on with Carton and Roberts yesterday, Evan asking him.
Do you think he's unfairly treated by the media and fans, Gary?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that's Gary Sanchez who he's referencing. Boone says Sanchez is not what we think.
When people talk about lazy or all, like, that could not be further from who the man is.
He says,
we're not talking about lazy, just talk about, like, sometimes he loses his focus.
Yeah, no, I think that lazy's been attached to him.
All right,
very often,
I got fan bases, social media, and all that other stuff. My thing is that his focus sometimes just goes completely south in the middle of a game.
Sure could, yeah.
Like that tag at home plate a couple weeks ago.
That was a bad one.
How do you explain that?
That was one of those bizarre things I've ever seen.
Yes.
It was almost as if the ball beat him. Let me just go over to the plate, and I'll just he'll be out.
I think Aaron has to protect his players, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Well, he continued on. He says that Sanchez is a victim of his own early success.
When you come up through the system and you have massive success right out of the gate, you know, you're kind of anointed as this next guy, and people think it's, you know, just going to happen and come easy.
And it doesn't. So, very interesting. Now, we've talked a lot about this stretch for the Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Rays, while the other teams are playing crap. Well, that crap beat the Blue Jays last night as the Twins beat them.
Yeah.
So, the Yankees a full game ahead of Toronto now
there
for the second wild card
spot. And that
spot.
Was that makeup game, which was really good for the Yankees because there was one game in hand. So, that was...
That's a legit one-game lead now.
Yes, it's a legit one-game lead. They each have the same amount of games to play rest of the way. So, this is... No excuses for the Yankees.
Agreed.
Is basically what I'm trying to say.
I agree. And so, they'll go into the series trailing Boston by two for the top wild card spot. Mets play in Milwaukee tonight. It's McGill and Lauer, the starters. The Brewers lost to the Cardinals on Thursday, 8-5. St. Louis has now won 12 straight games, and the White Sox split two with the Indians, but they won the first game 7-2, and with that win, they clinched the AL Central. And I know, Boomer, you referenced it before. You've got the Ryder Cup beginning at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin this morning, and this report has been brought to you by Winters Bros Waste Systems, creating a cleaner and greener Long Island. To learn more, visit wintersbros.com.
All right, can you do something about the monitor in here so we can watch the Ryder Cup when it starts?
I cannot.
The Hitachi.
Well, just put it on the other one. You're watching yourself live. Just put it on the top one.
All right.
Should be okay.
Okay.
That's delay.
That. Yeah. What is it? Golf Channel today? What is it?
Yes.
I would think so.
Yes.
All right. We'll find it.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
As we talked about yesterday, I played my first full round of golf in my life at Belport Country Club, a charity golf tournament, the FUCO golf tournament. To benefit Camp Aquatic. I made drunk plans last year to do it, and I did it. I followed through. I said I was going to play, and I played. I don't really know if I'm going to do it again.
Well,
that is the takeaway.
We put the over-under at 4 in terms of the amount of shots that your team was going to use for your score. And the question is, how many shots did you end up using for you?
5.
And, oh, nice.
And this was awesome. The last putt of the round, I drained. It was I could putt because of the mini golf situation. But the last putt of the round, I drained to go over the number. And it was tremendous. This one right here on CBS Sports Network is the funniest. of all the shots because I just ground it, and then you see the club flying after the ball. Here it comes in. If you just stick with it, and there's the club right there. Yeah,
you got very frustrated. We've all thrown clubs before, although it's not really a very nice thing to do.
what do you want from me, man?
Just try to control yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't proud of myself. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see myself doing it again, but it's probably not going to happen. I'll just put it that way.
As I look at you, your legs are too wide. You need to stand up a little straighter. You got to waggle that, you know. I sent you that Manolo Instagram.
Got to waggle it.
That guy's great, and I suggest you follow him and maybe. But, damn, that looks pretty good. That doesn't look bad. It looks like something that could be worked with.
Yeah, I need some lessons is what I need. I need some lessons.
Right.
And then, look, it threw me another one because we were sitting there waiting. There was no way I was going to hit the people in front of us. So a couple practices when I was out there.
Right.
But, I mean, I need a real legit lesson. And, of course, I'm with a couple of guys who are just, you know, ball-busting Long Island people. That was terrible. I'm ball-busting Long Island people. Hey, you look like you're swinging a baseball bat. You look like you're Joe Morgan with that elbow. Oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, this isn't helping. Like, I don't know how to play. Like, if you want to actually give me a tip or two, then fine. But you can't be yelling at me. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Right, but you had a few cocktails, I'm sure, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
And then as you loosened up, I'm sure that you didn't hurt anything. You didn't pull a back muscle.
No. I'm a little sore. I'm a little sore today. But I did not hurt anything.
Shoulder sore?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Shoulder sore?
Oh, no.
Up here?
Oh, Christ almighty. Yeah, that actually. Yeah, right there. Right. Actually, yeah. How did you know?
Right there, right?
Yeah, how'd you know right there?
But, you know,
oh!
How about down here?
Down here. That hurts more now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Right. See, oh, right, God. Right there, my kidneys.
Right there.
Stop.
Your kidneys.
Oh. They had a masseuse on the golf course. Why does that hurt so bad?
Yeah, I don't know
my
why.
My kidneys are back there. You massaged my kidneys.
Right. Well, I wasn't trying to massage your kidneys. I mean, that should make you feel good.
Yeah, no, it makes me feel great. Yeah. Awesome. You love just manhandling people, don't you? My goal, though, is... All right, so here's the question I have for you.
Yeah.
I get invited by so many nice people to play golf to think I already play golf. To, hey, play this course, play that course. I'm like, listen, I don't play. You don't want me out there. So I thought yesterday that if I played well or I loved it, that I could work on it and eventually get to the point where I could play some of these nicer courses and do this socially.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take me to get to that type of level?
Well, we're coming into the winter. You know, we're going into fall and winter now.
But, okay, we'll factor that in.
So you'd have to go to a simulator, and you'd have to go get some lessons at a simulator, which I can set up for you.
Okay.
Easy to do that on the way home from work. You know, you could stop at Johnny Andrush's place over there, and he's got plenty of simulators, and at least you can go over there and hit the ball.
Sure.
And the great thing about the simulator is that you hit it into a video screen.
Sure, you can see where it goes.
And then there's the track man that tells you where your ball's going, how far it's going, and everything else. And you also can get a lesson there with a pro.
Yeah.
And that would be a good way to be in a very controlled environment to learn how to hit a golf ball.
Do I want to do this, I guess, is another question.
No, you don't. Because, you know, all those nice days for golf and those are the same days that are nice to get on the boat.
Well, that's what I told Boomer before.
You're going to give that up?
No, and that was one of my main points. And I said to Boomer before the show that if it's windy, I could see myself going out there and playing golf. And Boomer goes, when it's windy, why would you want to go out there? It's windy. I said, because it wouldn't be a boat day. Like yesterday was perfect. The wind was whipping around.
Yes.
Not a boat day.
Which makes playing golf a little bit harder in the wind here on Long Island.
Yeah, a little bit harder. But I mean, it was hard for me to begin with.
You're not even thinking that. Most golfers would think about that.
A little overcast.
Right.
Like an overcast day, 68 degrees. Golf day, not a boat day.
You know, like every sport, there are subtleties that are attached to that sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, golf has a million of them.
Yeah.
And there are a million thoughts you have to have when you get ready to go play golf, the course you're playing, the conditions you're playing in, the way that you've been playing the last few weeks, the last few times you're out, the clubs that you have. I mean, there's so many little things to think of and nuances within the game, which makes the game so great.
Yeah, but it's also a lot.
Especially it is a lot.
To start something later in life like this, too.
But many people have. Like Joe G. Joe G had.
And
Joe G didn't start until late in life, until probably maybe 45 to 50, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even older than me.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Beningo, too, started later, didn't he?
And then all of a sudden he just was hooked.
You know, the thing it is, it's also if you like to walk and you want to get out and have some exercise, you know, that's not a big thing for you. that's one of the things, you know, people like to do. They like to walk. Like if you go over by Bethpage and you have all these golf courses over there, you see people out there all the time with their, you know, they don't have a caddy carrying their bag. They put it on like a wheelie caddy and they walk it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you're walking 5 miles. You're out, you're playing, you're getting the blood pumping a little bit. You're enjoying yourself. You're outside. That's all, you know, that's what you need.
Yeah. I think next year I want to play in your tournament. There you go. That's my goal. I'm going to play in your tournament next year. A little on the arm registration.
You know what?
I've been
down this road with people before.
Oh, have you?
It's never really worked out. Yeah, he played. Of course he did.
Okay, so then I'm going to play too. Place
and backing up the whole goddamn tournament.
No. I'm going to give me a year. Give me 1 year.
Like, I don't stand for that. You know, I don't stand for that nonsense out there where, you know, guys are horsing around and
I'm not
driving
horsing
their
around.
Carts into the freaking ponds and the sheriff's got to show up and all this other crap.
I don't do that. I don't know how to play, but is yours a scramble too?
No.
Okay, then I can't do that. Well, give me a year. 1 year, see if I take some lessons.
Why don't I just, there's your Christmas present. I'll set you up with 10 lessons. How's that?
I'd like to
think about what to get you.
Yeah.
It's hard to get something for somebody that does nothing.
It's not true. I drink and eat. I like
the boat. I mean, I could send you tequila until the cows come home, but you have plenty of that.
I do. Yeah, that would be a thing not to send me. Yeah, meats. I enjoy meats.
I know you like meats.
Yeah. Like I'm going to a steakhouse tonight.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
You and your meat, which one?
George Martin's strip steak there in Great River. Yep.
Yeah, right in Great River. That's where I grew up.
I know.
I literally grew up, I would say, a quarter of a mile from there.
Really? That
yes.
close?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be there
right
eating
on the other
some
side
meats.
Of the, right on the other side of the Southern State Parkway right there. That's the last exit.
That's right.
Point Road. So you got to go up there, go past the entrance to Heckscher Park, mm-hmm. make a left, go back in there and...
Right in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Like, this is...
You can go see the old neighborhood.
Like, I'm smiling right now thinking about it, because this is like, the
a
perfect
big thing
night.
For you. It's perfect.
You get the... You know, you get, like, a dirty martini to start. You get that. Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Maybe a little appetizer. Maybe a little appetizer salad. And you order the bottle of wine. Then your steak comes. And then, as I always say, my death row meal. Bite of steak. Little sip of red wine. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right.
Who needs golf when you got that? Honestly.
Well, that's what you do after golf.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. You can't just drink and eat
all
day
long. Having some sort of activity in your life, I think, is good.
Yeah, I know.
I tried with you.
I've resisted golf for so long. I really have.
I mean, I tried with you with biking.
Yeah, you know. But I'll.
And you quit that.
No. I just put it, I'm just in on sabbatical. That's all. I'll get back into that.
So the bike, or did you give that?
Yeah, no. I've got the bike.
I gave you other stuff that you gave away.
Pictures of knots. I mean, you actually think of it.
Yeah, but you know what?
Come on.
Again, it's the thought that counts. If it's just if I'm handing you something that I didn't think that you would like or would matter, but you're a seaman and knots and seaman stuff go together.
Yeah, so. I kept a couple of the other pictures. You gave me 4 pictures. I gave 2 away. I kept 2. That's all.
All right.
That's all.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.